I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most, and they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, "We see you and we've got you." Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Welcome to ABG, Asian Boss Girl, a podcast for the modern-day Asian-American woman. I'm Janet.
I'm Helen.
And I'm Mel.
And I'm Phil.
Today, we have a very special guest with us. He is a dude, a fellow ABB, and he has had a significant impact on all of our lives in many, many ways. From Janet's dance team member in college, to Mel's boss during the early stages of her career, to Helen's very close friend. He's also a producer on Asian Boss Girl, and he single-handedly taught us all how to edit our podcast, which is what you hear today. His name is Philip Wang, and he is a writer, director, actor, and he's been running a YouTube channel ever since YouTube started. Some of you may have heard of it, Wong Fu Productions. Welcome, Philip.
Hi. It's so weird being on this side.
I know. You're usually on the couch.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I feel honored. This is only the third time you guys have had guests, right?
Yeah.
One time it was with amazing female activists, and then the other time was fuckboys.
You're very lucky.
I'm glad
you're
I can
rounding
be,
out the, yeah. the variety for us.
That's true.
At least among the guys. So. Yeah.
And just as a, I guess, a side note here, we want to bring more Asian females onto this podcast. Philip, though, is a huge supporter of this podcast. We are believers that we should let our ABBs support our ABGs as well.
Yes. And for today's particular topic, he is someone that we wanted to bring on because he spent a lot of time thinking about the topic and creating his own personal project around it. So we thought he would be a very fitting person to bring on for today's episode.
Yappy.
Oh, that's what we were talking about? I thought we were talking about yellow fever. Oh.
Sorry.
Next
different
time.
Decade.
Next time.
Damn, decade?
A decade late.
Well, that intro was very long that you guys had. So yes, Jen and I used to be dance partners at UCSD. Shout
Go
out to Ascension. Yeah, hip hop dance. Before YouTube made it cool. Mel, I guess technically I was your boss at some point.
Just for like a little bit though.
So technically I am truly an Asian boss boy. Yes, Helen and I were very good friends.
No.
Very special friends.
No, but Wong Fu, yeah, in case people have no idea. I really do hope that a lot of people listening don't know who Wong Fu is or what Wong Fu is, because that means you guys are doing a great job reaching an audience that, you know, Wong Fu hasn't. But yeah, we have a YouTube channel that has over 3 million subscribers.
Dang, holy dropping shit, those okay, numbers.
Wow. You guys are doing good, right? On Spotify, right? In terms of
yeah, divide that by like 100.
If no you're way.
Listening right
hey, you
now,
know what?
Subscribe, follow, a rating.
Leave us a rating, preferred 5.
Hey, it took us a long time to get there too. But yeah, we make short films and sketches. And yeah, we've been very honored to have been able to make content for, you know, our fan base. And a large portion of our fan base is Asian American for a variety of reasons that, you guys have talked about on this podcast before, so I won't go into that. But we're the OGs of YouTube, I guess. We were making stuff even before YouTube was around. You said since YouTube was around, but we were making silly lip syncs and videos.
With your handheld camcorder,
yeah,
right?
That just dates us.
I do remember in college getting your videos through the regular files before YouTube.
That's how old we are. So, you know, this podcast is for like the... What do you girls say, like 20s and 30s?
Yeah.
I'm part of the 30s, so yeah.
He's old. It's okay, you're not alone.
So, Philip, you and your team, you're currently traveling the country, bringing to all these different colleges and universities this show that you created called Yappy.
Mm-hmm.
I guess for our listeners who don't know, Yappy is a 5-part series, each about 15 minutes long, and it's out on YouTube for free for streaming. And it's a story about a character named Andrew, who is a young Asian professional. So I guess just to kick it off, Philip, what do you define as a yappy? It sounds like the term yuppie. Is that where it's from?
Yeah, I think like it's not like this super popular zeitgeisty word. It was something that I first read like in a Wall Street Journal article like years and years ago. Mm-hmm. I first heard about yap, yeah, I think through this article, young Asian professional. It's basically, yeah, just someone that's just working a very normal 9-to-5 corporate job. You know, did what the parents wanted, making the family proud because they picked that, you know, nice, typical Asian job, right? I feel like, you know, that's kind of like what a lot of Asian people can relate to. And I know that that's what a lot of like our fans even are, you know, and mm-hmm. probably a lot of your listeners. Mm-hmm. I feel like you guys even yourselves have identified as what a yappy is. But like, I don't really feel like I have this like one definition of it, but I just know that what my interpretation is of it. And it is like, yeah, people who, you know, kind of went down a very safe route. And that's like the general idea, I guess, of what a yappy is.
So safe route as in like a very traditional professional job, right?
Well, I'd say when you think of like Asian parents, let's say specifically like immigrant families, I think when they come to America, I make this joke, like there's like the four pillars of what you're allowed to go into like mm-hmm. occupation wise, right? It's either finance, business, medicine, law, or engineering and science.
It's STEM.
STEM, yeah.
No, because law is not part of STEM.
STEM-el.
No, law is like a major thing, right?
Well, STEM is science, technology,
engineering
and math.
Yeah, so medicine's not in there either.
Yeah, I think she's saying that the engineering is...
STEM is one of the pillars. So anything outside of that, like they don't understand, mm-hmm. they don't encourage you, which I always thought was weird because like Asian parents are so big on like extracurricular, so like they tell you to like do piano and take dance classes, language classes, art classes, but then like this is just for the college application.
Yeah. So
like what if you actually said, hey mom, I actually really enjoy music. No,
yeah.
You know, don't do that. You gotta give that all up. But mom, you just spent thousands of dollars for me to do this since I was in kindergarten. Doesn't matter.
But maybe that's so true. Yeah, I think it's because it's important to be a well-rounded person, but it's the point that in your career, that should be the thing that provides for you economically, right?
Yeah,
and for your
yeah.
lifestyle. So that becomes like something very...
So your parents want you to have a good job, but if there's a piano in the room for you to be able to impress your friends and say, here's my Chopin.
It's just like for holiday parties,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly, yeah. Let me drop some Tchaikovsky on you.
This is why I have high standards for men. I blame my mom.
Oh,
yeah.
Because you saw all the extracurricular activities that you did, and you'd be like, okay, you better be really good at math because you did Kumon. You better be good at singing because you did choir.
Yeah.
You better be able to do art because you took painting classes. And then
cook because my mom cooked.
Yeah. So I want to say, like, a lot of Asian American women, like, their high standards come from, like, their upbringing because, like, we were taught to be all these things.
Hey, by that same token, then these guys are allowed to have the same high standards of you,
too. Oh, they are more than welcome to.
But, yeah, so you yappies, all you yappies can, you know, just feed each other, I guess.
Well, I guess you ladies, like, or Jenna and Mel, do you ladies think that you're a yappy?
Can I precede this first real quick? Because I'm seeing your faces. You guys are, like, cringing, like, do I want to say? I need to... First, say like there's nothing wrong with being a yappy, and maybe we can talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And maybe this is my fault, at least with the show, is that people took away from it that I was like looking down on mm-hmm. yappies.
Sure. And maybe I can like summarize it, and you can confirm whether or not my interpretation of it is
actually
correct.
Maybe you guys can.
Or we can. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mean, it sounds like the main character Andrew, he is someone who is very quote unquote safe, right? He is an engineer, And is he an engineer? Okay.
And, at Silo.
At Silo. And he likes basketball and he drives a BMW and he likes boys to men.
He's a basic bitch of Asian guys.
I love those three things.
Yeah. it's Asian guys starter pack, right?
Yeah.
Well, what's interesting is that then it's like, it's not just a safe career, but there every aspect of his life is kind of in this bubble.
Mm-hmm. That's right. True. So, very true. So he only has mostly Asian friends. He has one like white friend, but he's like a token white friend.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And his girlfriend or his ex-girlfriend challenges him about being super safe and not wanting to be with him because he doesn't really, I guess he lacks passion is what it seems like.
Yeah, I think just to back up to a reason why I wanted this show to be this type of character is because I know that a lot of our fans are probably going to relate to this type of life or this type of life choices. And I think that's similar to like even like your guys's listenership, right? Where it's career women, you know, or like they feel the pressures of their family and they do end up in somewhat of a bubble, right? At the same time, like I also wanted to show this group of friends or Andrew because I have a lot of pride in that bubble too. Like I said in the show, it's like, why do we have to be apologetic for having mostly Asian friends or gravitating towards each other, right? Or we shouldn't be apologetic for, going down these jobs too. So like, it was this weird balance of like wanting to put a mirror towards the audience for them to reflect on themselves, but also be proud of their background too. So I get why some people were half offended and then why some people were like, wow, this is really what I think I needed to see and hear and what a lot of people like. I wanted to activate our fans to like reflect on their lives and think about how complacent have you been in your life? How quote unquote safe have you been? Some comments that were like, oh my gosh, like his ex-girlfriend or the girl that he's dating, they're so picky, like this guy's great or whatever. But I've literally have had friends that have broken up with their boyfriends or guys that have been broken up with for these reasons. Like I think people think that just achieving certain things in life should be enough for you to be a great partner. But there's a lot more to life than just hitting certain milestones.
No, I agree. And I think I was following the comments and watching along with you guys when releasing. I feel like people were offended because some people actually value that safe route. I think for other people, when they value other things, like, you know, exploring passions and like putting efforts in other activities, like that series was for them to explore that. Well, other people, it's like, if you don't value that, that's fine. Like, we're not saying there's anything wrong with that, but then that's you.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing. Like, I just wanted to make something that just at least made you think about making that choice. My character, what he realized is that, oh my gosh, there's been so many things that happened in my life that I just kind of went along with that I didn't realize happened just because I've either been complacent or because I'm Asian and just things happened to me and I just didn't question it. Yeah, if people watched it and was like, oh yeah, like this doesn't apply to me, that's fine. You can still watch a show that you don't fully relate to. You can still like the characters or like the topics. But then for the people that see themselves in it and they're like, oh my gosh, I do feel uncomfortable. Why do I feel uncomfortable watching this? You know, that's what I wanted to do. And I think it's also because there's such a huge population of Asian Americans that I do think because of us growing up in immigrant families are living right now very inactive or, you know, not proactive or just complacent, that I'm like, I want to say like, we're a powerful group if we all kind of wake up and participate in the community. I'm not telling everyone to go quit their jobs and go be a starving painter, artist, but it's like, hey, are you at least conscious about what's happening in your community, in politics and entertainment, you know, in education and all this stuff? It's like, a lot of Asians just don't care.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
For immigrant families, it makes sense that your parents were on this like single focus mode of just surviving. So obviously that translates to the children. And I think it's like, you know, now that you are second or third generation here, you are more established and you should have more freedom and availability to think outside the box. But the default setting is for them to still be in that like survival mode, right?
Right. I think there is a general yearning from our community of wanting to care. But the problem is that in order for your culture to evolve, you have to have kind of like leaders or products to be like milestones or checkpoints or inspiration, right? And I feel like Asian people just don't have a lot of those things to latch onto and say, yes, this is the next level. It literally happens like once every few years that we get Linsanity in 2012, you know, and then 6 years later, we have Crazy Rich Asians. And then in between, okay, there's some YouTubers or there's someone on TV or there's a K-pop group that you like. We are so hungry and thirsty to try to find things that we're excited about that we just latch onto everything. And we just need more of this stuff, which is why actually I think that this podcast is so amazing and why it's growing and finding success is because there's a lot of girls, you know, that have been wanting someone to make this. They've noticed that this is missing or it's one of those things where they never knew that they were missing it.
Right.
And then now that it's here, they can be like, this is what I need.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I can say also for me, like for us three, right, we didn't have anyone to really look up to in terms of an entertainment that also worked 9 to 5 and provided a voice for people like us.
Well, like you said, it's because they're in entertainment, so they're not going to be in 9 to 5.
Exactly. So I think we're at a very interesting time right now where maybe even like 90% of the people are yappies within the Asian American community, because a lot of us are still children of immigrants, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're still holding on to those values of our parents to have like safe traditional jobs and to be secure and to take care of our family because of how hard it was for them to come over here.
Right.
So I think a lot of us are still in that mindset, but we're still a very like silenced community in that our voices are coming from the 10% that are in entertainment, maybe even less than that, mm-hmm. but that are coming from entertainment, and their stories are very different from everyone
else's. It's not reflective of the 90%.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's why it's so important for people that are in that 90% that maybe they fell into that 90% by default, mm-hmm. right? But deep down, they actually do have the blueprint for something more. Mm-hmm. And that's really what the series was about. It's like, hey, like maybe you were supposed to be more for your community. And not even like on a grand scale, like, yeah, go be a movie star actor, but maybe just even in your local community to help some organization or something, right?
And if you look at like the number of people on a college application, right? So many Asian people are like the presidents of their, you know, students' associations or organizations. But then like, where does that leadership fall into after college?
Right. It was just to get into the
school. There's like a lot of unharnessed power or
talent.
Or talent and passion.
Yeah.
That I think just because, you know what it is, maybe like when you enter the quote unquote real world, you as a minority or a person of color, you realize how much things are stacked against you.
Yeah.
And that you just kind of have to play the game, mm-hmm. right? But when you're in college and you have an org that's it's cut out for you, then yeah, I'm going to be a leader here. I'm going to be a dancer here. I'm going to make flyers here because you have a system and a network where you can flourish, right?
And especially being in California, the UC system, it's majority of Asian people. So you're actually, the microcosm is you are more of the norm in that setting.
That's true.
Which is not the case usually then when you start to enter the working world.
That's right. True.
I think that's why a lot of people who listen to us feel lost after post-grad because they don't know the direction to take. And I feel like that relates to like being involved in the Asian American community because it's like, who before me has been involved that I could follow and take lead? I don't know anyone. Mm-hmm. So just like, I feel there's a lot of Asian American, you know, yappies out there with a lot of potential and power. But what do they do with this power? And it's just like also within their framework of being like the typical 9 to 5 job, they can't be creatives to push that Asian Americans on screen. But they also have like, I guess, like capital power.
Right.
Right. And they don't know what to do with that.
No. So, for example, like how Helen was saying, like, oh, yeah, like 90%, let's say, are just quote unquote regular people. I'm like, no, that's 90% consumers that can vote with their dollar mm-hmm. and that can apply support to that is part of that 10% that is willing to grind it out and be a starving artist, right? Or you can, yeah, you can go buy a movie ticket to an independent film or whatever. Or like when we went on tour for Yappy, the people that came out were Yappies. They were like our fans that were working regular 4-pillar jobs. And I told them, like, the fact that you guys are here at a small screening for an offshoot underground YouTube channel's show, that already shows you that you are not typical. Like, you keep up with us, you care about what we're doing for the community. Like, you guys are special. You guys have contributed X amount of dollars to bring us out here and to keep going. The real people that are yappies that need to hear this message are your friends that didn't want to come.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so same thing with this podcast too. I feel like there's the people that are listening to this are the ones that are searching for something more. And even if they're not able to, for familial financial reasons, to go start their own podcast or start their own project, they're allowing you guys to keep going and allowing you guys to keep sharing a message or inspiration to others that could lead to that next, maybe someday there's an Asian Beyonce or Asian Michelle Obama. Like, you know, like there's a process to everything, right? And we need to build those pieces and everyone is a piece, right? And so right now we just don't have enough people that are trying to take the risk to go be those pieces. That song.
Talk about your three C's.
My three C's? Oh. So like on that note of like consumers, and you said capital. So you already, those are two of the C's already. So I have this thing where I believe that in order to change culture, you have to change media first, right? I really think media has the power to shift perceptions of like the world, because it introduces people that would never see a lifestyle, a story or whatever, to be exposed to it. And then it can make it normal, mm-hmm. right? And so Asian people kind of lack this impact right now. We have literally one movie every 25 years, apparently, mm-hmm. right? This was a good year. So hopefully this is a trend. Anyways, we need more stuff to be made. We need more movies. We need more TV shows. We need more talent, whatever, that's out there trying. So in order for more stuff to get made, there's three parts of this machine, and they're the three C's. Like, you need, first of all, you need the creator, which is going to be that starving artist that has that talent, that's willing to believe in themselves and go against their parents or whatever. But in order for them to make stuff, they need the two other parts. Like, maybe they need capital, like you said. Mm-hmm. They need someone to come in and say, hey, I believe in your talent. I know that you have no money to make your film or your painting or your book. I'm going to fund it. So these two people have teamed up now. But if no one buys that book, then the person that invested that capital will be like, oh, this was a terrible business mm-hmm. decision. No one cares about your art. So let's never do this again. So that's why the consumer, the other C, is very, very important as well. Because they have to be the ones that show up and buy that book or buy that CD or whatever, right? Or the concert ticket or the movie. So these three working together, every other community has these parts. And Asian people have not really been able to galvanize in an efficient way yet. And we haven't had enough things for us to really work out the kinks of that machine. Someone on tour actually told me that there's another C, and it's called connections. And that's like networking. Mm. And that's what Hollywood is based off. Hollywood is completely based off of a bunch of Jewish people that have built this system up over decades and generations, just saying, oh, let me call my cousin, let me call my uncle, whatever.
Yeah.
Which is good for them. They put in the work to do that. Like, we're not there yet, you know?
Where do you think of the C's, like, where are we? Which one is kind of at a stronger presence right now? Which is the weakest?
Ooh.
Good question.
Damn, Janet.
What I think is great, and a testament to the power of Yappies too, and our parents pushing us to go into STEM and all these things, is actually I think that we're good on capital. I actually think that they're...
Very true. So Asians are supposedly have the most buying power, right?
Right.
Of any other race in this country.
They have the power, but are they using it? Because we're also super cheap, right? Or we're stingy, or like that's the stereotype, right? I think that there's a lot of Asian people that are still kind of...
They're focused on
themselves.
Yeah, right.
And this is one of the negative aspects of a typical Yappy, in my definition. It's like, you only care about yourself. You know, I made this joke in the show too. It's like, she's like, I need someone that cares about the world, mm-hmm. you know? And obviously, like, some people would be like, oh, that's so hippie or whatever. But like, truly, I think Asian people are bred, you know, like we're brought up to say, only care about yourself, you know, like, and it's because our parents are telling us, oh, Mrs. Lin's kid is doing this and this. So you get to this, you're programmed to start. Everyone's competing, right?
Yeah.
So you're not trying to help others, right? So I do think that there's a ton of rich Asian people, but are they trying to encourage, support, fund things that are not even going to benefit them, like, directly, maybe, right? Mm-hmm.
Well,
I don't think so.
Is there another pillar of your three C's where it's like the cool factor, right? Is that a thing?
Oh,
where
yeah.
Right. So
Asian things aren't as cool.
I do think that what I've noticed in a lot of meetings and people that I've been encountering, there are certain really rich people, you know, that do see the impact that they can make. And I think that it's shifting. I think as there are more wins that we're seeing in our community, it's inspiring them to be like, hey, I think I can help out.
Mm-hmm.
Even for, you know, selfish reasons. Hey, I just want to hang out with famous people, or I want to make a movie, you mm-hmm. know, about myself or my story. Like, I'll fund it and go whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is shifting. But I do think that there is a lot of power, like you said, you know, on the capital side. On the consumer side, yeah, we have... I mean, we're a small demo overall in America, sure, but if you were able to activate everyone to care, that's enough to make a dent in the box office. Like, look at Crazy Rich Asians. Like, the reason why it ended up doing spectacularly is because it still did well within our community first.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think, and to Helen's point about Asian Americans being actually high purchasing power group. And I think that with Crazy Rich Asians, we saw that like come through,
right? Right.
People have like, there is definitely a desire and people are willing to pay for it.
Exactly. I think a lot of times from what I've heard from ad agencies and whatever studies, like people used to think that, oh, Asians, they'll just do whatever white people do. So we don't need to market to them differently. They don't need something that's specific to them. But I think it's very clear that Asian people, if they have a choice, they will support. So therefore, I think the problem is where we're lacking, going back to your question, your original question is, we don't have enough products and therefore creators. Mm-hmm. Or creators that have been enabled. At the same time, I would say maybe there are actually a lot of creators, but the connection between all three of them has not been made yet. A lot of creators are feeling like, okay, I can't go for it, or, mm-hmm. you know, it's not viable. And then, yeah, they go back to just settling down to what they, you know, what is easier, or what is their default, right? Which is to play it safe, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's the linkage of, because if you have creators and you have capital, but you need that, the connections to pair them together, right? Do you feel like there's a disparateness of...
No, I mean, at the end of the day, like, I think Asians are also like the hardest on each other. So let's say there's a super rich guy. They'll be like, oh, that talent's not good enough. We have to get over this, like, what is good enough to take a risk on. And I think a lot of Asians are still risk adverse.
You know? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So even going back to the creator's side, like, yeah, I don't think that there is enough people that are trying to go for it. I think that there was a really golden age of YouTubers that kind of changed culture, at least Asian American culture, to inspire a lot of people.
I think that was also a very like riskless time to be on YouTube. Right now, it's so saturated that it's like scary to start a YouTube channel.
Yeah, I mean, when Wong Fu first started, you know, it was definitely, I wouldn't say easier, but it was just like there was less noise, mm-hmm. and there was less expectation of what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's less promise of success, so it was more risky also in that sense. Like, we were kind of going into the abyss. We had no idea where it was going. Now, because it's not a mystery, now there is expectation. You need to be the successful. You need these numbers. You have to make this amount of money.
There's more of a process.
There's more of a process. Path. But that means that there's a higher barrier for entry now. Mm-hmm. And so now it's just as hard to start a YouTube channel as it is to go to Hollywood. So Asians have just reverted back to the time before YouTube was even invented, and Asians are just not going to go after entertainment, you know? That gets into a whole different topic of just like, you know, the state of Asian Americans in media. Like, I don't know if that's what you guys want to talk about. I'm curious, actually, like, because you guys didn't answer. Do you guys, like, actually think you guys are yappies? What's your interpretation of it? Yeah.
Well, I thought it was interesting that we talked about, I think most people tag on to the career in defining a yappy, but then we also talked about how in your series, Andrew, it's also about his social bubble and it's everything. So I would say just solely focused on career, right now I feel like my lifestyle does kind of typify me as a yappy. I would say I started out post-college in a yappy job or a yappy lifestyle, and then I kind of did like this detour and I had like a mass... Like,
you went to Kenya.
I went to Kenya.
Yappies don't go to Kenya.
Florida and New York.
I went to Miami. I went to New York. I tried to go into a creative industry of advertising and actually learned that advertising is a pretty secure industry. So for Asian people who might think like being a designer or going into advertising is like being a starving artist, it's not. There's a lot of money in there.
Well, does anyone think going to advertising is not lucrative?
I don't. Well, when I told my parents, like, so I started out working at like in a tax consultancy.
Yeah,
they understand what that is.
Right.
To say advertising, they were like literally like, I don't know. I don't know what that is. Like, are you like, is it?
So you went from advertising to Chinese acupuncture.
Yeah. That's definitely not a good idea. I almost forgot about that route. Yeah. So needless to say, I had like a good maybe 4 to 5 years of just like trying a bunch of different stuff and kind of rounded back out to a lifestyle that someone could define as a yappy lifestyle. But being a yappy is not good. It's not bad. Being anything is not good or not bad. It's just promoting people to be aware of what you are. So to make sure that that is a lifestyle that you've actively chosen, right? So for me, I feel like out of college, I fell into that. I didn't feel like I made an active decision. I just kind of did. I checked the boxes and then I ended up there and I was like, where am I? I don't like this. But then I ended up back in a place that is very similar to that. But now it was an active decision that I chose to come back here, right?
Yeah,
so
maybe
for some people, you don't even need to go explore. Maybe you stay where you are and you're doing what you're doing, but you just ask yourself, is this where I want to be?
So I think you hit it right there. It's about awareness of your place in how it relates to other people and society, and also your place in your just own life. Mm-hmm. And if you've accepted that if you are happy with that, right? So when people ask me, do I think I'm a yappy? I will say, yeah, actually, I have yappy tendencies. I'll say this. I have yappy tendencies. Like, I think you can be a yappy.
Like a woke yappy?
Yeah. Basically, I don't think that there's anything wrong to want stability and, you know, to work hard and earn a good living and have a good education. There's nothing wrong with that. So if that is what some people define as yappy, then yes, everyone should go be a yappy. That's a good thing, right? Like, and I know people like would criticize Asians. Why are you guys trying to get away from having good education and stuff like that? Whoever's listening to this and like wondering like, am I a yappy or not? Don't worry about if you are or aren't. Those are just the tangible things of a job and, you know, where you are. Those milestones is one thing. Like, we're talking about, you know, speaking to those yappies and making sure that they're aware mm-hmm. of their choice.
Yep. I think sometimes I don't know if I'm a yappy completely because I work in a creative space, right? So it's like, am I considered a yappy? Part of me says yes, because I work the typical 9-to-5 job. But at the same time, my job is part of the STEM, right?
Right, right. But it's still, you chose that job because it provides you security and stability, right?
Yeah. I guess why my definition of yappy can vary is my career path is very opposite of you, Janet. Like, when I first started working, I went into freelance right away. I pursued my passion and I didn't make any money. And, you know, shortly after that, I realized I needed to be stable, you know? And so I guess stability is a core part of being a yappy. And that's mm-hmm, why right. I entered my 9-to-5 job. But I wasn't satisfied with my 9-to-5 job, which is, you know, why we're doing this podcast yeah. now. But
the fact that you're questioning that, right, means that it's like, to your term, the woke yappy. Mm. So you've opted into this lifestyle, but you're aware of maybe what part of it is not fulfilling.
If someone told me like, oh, like I'm an actor or I'm a writer, I would be like, okay, you're not a yappy. Like, there are definitely characteristics that I would not attribute mm-hmm. the same thing, right? So I guess it is occupationally dependent in some ways, but I guess that maybe that's just like the surface level. This on the surface level, yes, a yappy is these things, and typically it is like the occupational stuff. But I think that you can be a little bit of both. You can find, like I said, I relate to being a yappy. I have yappy tendencies, but then my profession is completely not.
Mm-hmm. So maybe you know. It's because you're all financially stable, right? Maybe that makes you.
Right. So it just all comes yeah. down to money, guys.
Well, actually, I think it's because, so when you first pursued the YouTube stuff, you didn't know what it was. So right. that actually was very risky. That right. was, that's the opposite of a yappy, right,
right? Right.
But then it just so happened that it became a stable sector.
Right, right.
So. You well, didn't
or I worked at it to make it stable.
Right.
Because I did want stability in some way. Yeah.
So yappy tendencies.
Right. Yeah. So it's like, in some ways, goals really is to be a woke yappy to be stable, right? Or
to be both stable but also
understand, you know, who you are, what you want in life, you know, how you want to affect, you know, the world.
I like how you all just finished each other's sentence.
You didn't answer. Do you consider yourself?
So when I was watching it, I feel like you wrote it for me. I absolutely feel like a yappy. I think it's interesting because if you think about it, like from elementary to high school, you're kind of just like going along with whatever your parents are telling, like which school to go to, right? And then when you go into college, that may be like the first decision you ever have for a choice for yourself. But then a lot of people within college, like I remember when I had to pick my major, I just checked a box and I picked business. Mm-hmm. And that has since set the path for what I'm doing now, actually, if you think, like, that's pretty crazy, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I do think that even though my job is a good job and it's a very safe, stable, lucrative job, it's more like I still feel like I kind of just went with whatever was given to me. Mm-hmm. And yes, I was smart, diligent to get there, but at the same time, it wasn't really like a passion choice, right? Mm. And then thinking about like the three things, the three B's, right? I love 90s R&B and slow jams, like Boys to Men. I played basketball and I have a BMW. Like, I totally fit within this yappy category. And I remember for the first, like, I've been working for 8 years now. Just like 2 years ago, I remember thinking to myself, like, what am I doing, right? I feel like I'm in this job and I'm doing it well and I'm proving myself and I'm, you know, getting promoted here and there. But it's like, but what am I really about? Right. Mm-hmm. And that thought process, I think, is exactly what Andrew went through when he's at work. Right. Mm-hmm. He's reflecting on his life and he's thinking about the bigger picture of like, what is your purpose in life? Right. Is it to really just make money? So I think that I'm sure a lot of our listeners can also relate to people right. who are in these very stable jobs and are maybe a little bit more risk adverse to like go out like you, Janet, and like try other things or even like Mel to already start off with like your passion projects. Right.
So, they just check the box.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So like for me, giving advice to people who are yappies or in the same place as I am, I think it really is just starting something, even if it's like a very little something, even if it's like a very small blog, or like even starting an Instagram page where you're thinking about curating captions and thinking about putting together like a story in your Instagram. As lame as that sounds and as like millennial social media driven as that is, like that's still a way to share your thoughts and your ideas, right? And things that are
important,
unique
to you.
And important to you, right? It's like almost like journaling to the public.
Right. Yeah.
So it could be like an Etsy page. It could be a, you know, a cookbook.
Right.
It could be, you know, just something that your actual hobby that you actually care about beyond, that you would do for free.
I think a huge part of the point is to then for you to better understand your identity, because the whole point of doing this is like, how do you curate what represents me? And it forces you to think about what matters, who you are outside of just your 9 to 5.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, like, I would like to say that, you know, it doesn't, who cares if you are or aren't a yappy by whoever's definition. Like, I think we're spending a lot of time on like, am I not, you know, it's just like, just are you happy with who you are?
Yeah.
I said this in the graduation speech, but I'm like, just as long as you live life actively, don't live life passively. And I think if we do want to quantify a general yappy, I would just say actually a yappy is just someone that is living life passively. You know, so they fall into checking a box. They fall into the default job. They just do what their parents say or whatever, right? And so, but if you chose to do all those things, if you love investment banking,
right,
if you love filling cavities, that's awesome. Go be the best.
Some people do.
Go be the best damn dentist, but be a woke dentist that cares about Asians or cares about, you know, others, right? Like, that's what I think is most important. Just being active with your choices and with your life.
Right. And I would say that for my job now, like, one of the reasons why I'm sticking with it is because I do see sort of this like hole that needs to be filled in terms of, there's so many Asian people that come in at like the lower levels, but like they never last through management level. And it's like being that example for other people. That's like one of the big reasons why I want to stay there and just like prove people wrong. Right. So maybe that's like a part of the, like a passion that comes from a job that was more taken for like the stability side of it.
Right. No, I think that's definitely that's a huge part of you figuring out what your identity is and what your, that's like very mission driven aspect or mission driven way to approach your work.
To add on to what Helen and Jan are saying, I think for Helen, like, the reason why she's staying at the job, she feels like she has, like, this position to fill, right? To represent Asian Americans in, like, corporate finance and be a, like, a...
ABG.
Yeah. I think another a tendency for, like, a yappy is that we get, like you said, Phil, we get stuck in our job because we're doing the day-to-day grind. We don't really have time to think about, am I actually happy with where I am? And here's the thing that I thought about is like, do I like what I'm learning at work? There are times at work I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, do I even like this? Why am I staying hella late? But at the end of the day, it's like, I actually enjoy what I'm learning from like my manager and like my department. And so like, yeah, I think if you enjoy learning what you're doing, then you're also, you're in a good place.
Yeah. That means that you're actively, well, A, you're actively questioning it. And B, it's like, if you are actively gaining something positive that matches with your enjoyment.
Yeah. Okay, so just to wrap up this episode, Phil, like, you know, you have season one of Yappy. What are the next steps now?
I would love to make a season two. Again, this is like completely self-financed, self-produced. This is not like Netflix handing us a big check. So
Netflix, if you're listening, holla. There's some Yappies there.
I wish.
We need some people from one of the C's, the capital, to get involved here.
I honestly wish we had more support from, you know, the community or traditional side. But I do see Yappy, the series, as like kind of like a more like for the culture kind of thing. Like, we're not doing it for the money, obviously. But but the message of trying to activate this demographic is so important to me that like I do want to keep it going, because there's so much more to explore about the modern Asian American experience. Like, you guys touch on it, you know, every week with an episode, you know,
Periods and Poops.
I want to do the visual representation of those stories, you know? And so, you know, even like Andrew is, you know, the main character, but like there's so many other characters, you know, in his group of friends. Like, there's actually one episode that I want to do if we do a second season that's like just about the girls, you know, and like their experiences. So, I mean, that could be its own show, you know, like there could be an ABG show.
Netflix.
So yeah, I mean, obviously want to keep making stuff, you know, for our fans and keep inspiring people. I think the longer I've been doing Wong Fu and, you know, this YouTube thing, the more I'm realizing that it's beyond just, you know, my particular story and just what I think is funny or, you know, meaningful. Like, I know that there's messaging and there's stories that are from other parts of the community that I would have never experienced before that I want to help bring to light, you know, and make Wong Fu.
I want to watch season two of Yappy. I feel like I left kind of after watching last episode. I'm like, there has to be a season two.
Yeah.
And I think I was telling you, Phil, like as of a fan at 16, when I first met you, seeing Yappy, it's like, wow, even at 27, I could relate to your content again. Right.
I think we'll have to do a second season, mainly just because even this conversation has made it very clear. There's so much more to clarify of what we're even trying to say with yappiness, you know, like, and I definitely feel like since it's come out, I've learned a lot more of like just hearing people's responses, hearing people's own interpretations, you know, like I definitely do feel like there's a lot more to say about what this quote unquote yappy identity is and what it can mean to others and how it can affect others as well, you know. So yeah, I really don't want people, if this is the last thing that you remember hearing, you guys were, you know, doing your hair the whole last 30 minutes or whatever, you weren't listening, because I know that's how Helen sometimes listens to podcasts
in the bathroom or in the car,
and it's just playing and I'm like, you're not even listening to this.
I am actively listening and brushing my teeth and curling my hair and doing everything else.
So in case you guys zoned out or were dealing with something the last 30 minutes, you know, again, we're not looking down on a particular job or particular way of life. I think what we're all encouraging you and what you girls are leading by example with is, yeah, living actively, you know, making sure you have chosen what you want to do and are aware of what your choices mean in your own life and to other people around you, right? And so just kind of understanding that it's not just you and your own piano recital and you just got to beat the other kids. Like, it's like, no, We're all playing together, and we all can affect one another in positive ways.
Share the piano.
Share the piano. Yeah, chopsticks, right?
Yeah, chopsticks.
You need two people. Yeah.
Strive to be a woke yappy. Yeah. Essentially.
Yeah. Go get that money. Go be a good dentist, and then spend it on a Wong Fu ticket or something.
Or an ABG ticket.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm doing too much of my own plugging.
Yeah. Okay, so to wrap things up, we have a couple questions for you, Phil.
Uh-oh.
So you are a producer on our podcast. We have now, almost 30 episodes? This will be about 30.
Yeah, 3-0.
A little test like of your, have you been listening to everything? What's your favorite episode?
I'm doing my hair most of the time. For
We don't jog your memory.
I'll say this. Okay, like, I'll give the listeners the inside scoop.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Oh, God.
You guys have come so far. The first season was so rough. Like,
you guys recorded
that first episode like 3 times or
grooming
something.
Grooming was my favorite. It's still my favorite episode.
So
and
I'm
that
just
was
trying to,
episode 3.
I'm trying to just think back. Was that episode 3?
Yeah, actually that was. Yeah.
That was a fun one. Yeah.
Does that mean we've gone downhill?
Yeah, like, I think for the first season, I was like the last listen, you know, quality control, I guess, for the technical stuff. And so that forced me to listen to everything. And then second season, I started to not have to do that as much, which is a testament to your guys' skill.
Thanks.
But it also meant that I wasn't listening to everything all the way through. No, just kidding. I listened to everything. Okay, sorry. To answer your question, there's been so many. Can you guys refresh my memory?
Wow.
That's secret code word for I don't listen to anything.
Everything has had good stuff in it. Like,
so what's your favorite?
So obviously, like, you know, the dating stuff is always fun to listen to. Like, Mel's escapades. I can't believe that
Called Mel Boo. Mel's Boo.
I can't believe that we have seen a complete life cycle of one of Mel's relationships because of ABG.
Oh,
like, sorry, is that too soon?
But
I think it's kind of crazy that, like, in the first season, she was talking about being single. In the second season, we actually saw her get a boyfriend. And then, like, by the end of... Sorry, is this too emotional?
No, it's okay. Fine. I mean, I do find it interesting because, like, you know, we've been friends for, like, a few years now. And I think we never really talked about, like, risque topics like sex. And, like, this podcast has allowed us to open up about it.
Right.
And so when we were recording and then we send, like, you know, Phil and other producers, like, the episode, they'll text us saying, like, oh, my God, you did this. Like, why didn't you tell
me
about
this? You guys learned
a
lot about us. Inadvertently, I think, through along with everyone else in the world.
I mean, we're not just talking into the void, ladies. Yeah. We are talking to people.
I mean, like, Phil, you knew Janet since college. Did you know she'll be as outspoken as she is on the mic? I mean,
Janet,
you had the moves on the dance team, but we didn't know you had the moves.
In college.
And then, what the fuck?
You were definitely the quieter one. Yeah.
Whoa.
I still am
kind of quiet, yeah. I'm naturally quiet.
But I guess, give her a platform and she'll just go off.
I love it. So me too.
Yeah. Mel, this makes sense for you. this,
whoa, that this laugh,
is,
though.
This, is a, this was a natural step for you. And I know that this is just step one of your staircase to a K-pop music video.
Honestly, the real reason why we had Phil here is because I'm like trying to bait him to like make a K-pop video.
Yeah, this is literally like just a substitute. This is the closest that she can get to a K-pop music video.
My voice.
Helen, I would say this is a pretty big jump for her,
yeah,
considering like her job and that she has never taken a lot of risks before this. So
because yeah, you knew Helen for what, 3 years?
No, years? No, much more than that.
Oh yeah, but then I feel like the times you knew her, like now that she's doing something different, it's kind of cool, right?
Yeah, no, I think it's. But again, you know what this is like? I think this was always in you, and but you never had a group of people to encourage you to try it.
Mm. Yeah, actually, it's funny because I used to have
open that up.
An Instagram account called 18 Puppies that is a private account, and that was my own personal account, and I would actually write captions for myself, and I remember you looking at it and you saying like, why don't you just put this into the public?
I was like, what the fuck is 18 Puppies?
I was like,
were you 12?
I like the number 18. I like puppies.
You like puppies. I thought you were like, you know, running like a puppy Instagram account or some shit.
No,
like
no,
that.
I remember you seeing that. You were like, dude, like these captions are good.
So I actually feel like, yeah, like of the three, like the most odd one is that Janet's doing this. Like,
really?
I don't know, because like I never got the sense from you that you wanted to be, you know,
create.
Public too. You're very like,
right.
So for you to take the step to say like I'm down to
share
this much, I honestly am pretty surprised.
I think maybe it's the like lack of knowledge of what that means. Maybe okay.
Oh, like you're saying like ignorance is bliss kind of.
Yeah,
thing,
like I kind of was just like, yeah, let's do a podcast.
You don't realize the actual impact that.
Yeah,
it would,
I was very surprised with like. I mean, I guess like thinking about doing an Instagram account, I was like, we're just going to do a podcast. But what it meant like socially, I didn't know what I was signing up for. Not, it was, it's good, you know?
Yeah. I think that's something that, you know, can be said between all three of you. Like, I think when you guys first started, like very low expectations and you guys have stuck with it and it's doing well. And I think a lot of your listeners can see that as inspiration that nothing happens overnight, right? So you have to stick with it. You have to be committed. You have to have a good support group. So high five to me. No, but like, no, you guys support each other. You guys did it, you know, as a team. And I think that's really important. So, and yeah, like, I think you guys embody a lot of what going after, you know, a side project, dream, passion, you know, entails. So I'm really glad that so many people are resonating with it and that you guys are seeing the fruits of your labor. You know, 30 episodes, that's amazing.
And
you guys did it yourselves, you know, like you guys were the ones that were staying up late editing yourselves. You know, people, I don't know if people know that. I don't know if people think that you guys have like, you know, a huge team behind you or whatever. But yeah, you guys do a lot of this on your own. So
I do want to thank Phil for, you know, coming on this episode. Actually, as we're sitting here, I'm looking around the table and I do realize Phil was the one that brought us three together because, you know.
Oh, that's very true.
Right. Like, because all three of us are actually different parts of his life.
Oh,
and we
came
together to form this podcast. Yeah.
That's
true. We were just drinking one night, and I was like, listen to the three of you girls talk, and I was like, people needs to hear this.
That's true. You were a big instigator and supporter, and I think, to your point about the first episode, it took us like three tries. I don't know if we would have gotten over that hump if it weren't for some of your like technical assistance.
Thanks. And I think it's also, you need to have people that can see that it is possible. I think that's just what's important, that what to have just role models in general. I'm not saying I'm a role model, but I'm saying like I had to convince you guys like, no, trust me, like this is good. Mm-hmm. This is going to be great, you know, and now you guys are proving it day in and day out, week in and week out.
So I guess just to wrap this up, thank you, Philip, for joining us as our third guest on Asian Boss Girl, a very important ABB in
our
lives.
I'm not a fuckboy.
He's not a fuckboy.
Just to stand out from that episode.
A supportive ABB of the ABG podcast. So thank you for your time here.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, being important in our lives.
Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun. And maybe have me back, you know? Like maybe I can be a, you know...
Fuckboy part three? I'm just kidding.
Can I try to do the outro?
Oh my God, can you? Yeah, I'd love to.
Okay,
let's
see.
That.
All right. You can find us on Spotify and iTunes. We'll just show up right in your feed. We're really active on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. So add us there and follow us there.
What's our handle?
At Asian Boss Girl. Leave a comment. Leave us a rating. We love getting ratings and hearing about your stories and what you enjoyed. So you can also email us, AsianBossGirl@gmail.com. And yeah, thanks so much for listening.
What's the call to action for our listeners?
Call to action. So in the comments of this Instagram post or email us, what do you think a yappy is? And are you one?
Okay.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good?
Yeah, good job. All right, thanks everyone. And see you all in the next episode.
Thanks everyone. See you on the next episode.
Bye.